Let us pray. Father Almighty, we do pray that you might enlighten us now by your word. For Lord, we confess that we are a people whose inmost minds hide dark delusion, which haunts and blinds. But Lord, we know your word is a light to the world, a light of salvation, and we pray that it may be so today for us as well. Give us eyes to see and ears to hear. Give us faith to receive the truth you have for us today. We pray in the name of Jesus. Amen. Well, Monday I watched, like many of you did, President Trump's second inaugural speech. And what I heard was a clear proclamation of the gospel. Now, if you didn't listen to the speech, you may be surprised that you haven't heard more about this gospel proclamation. And if you did listen to the speech, you're probably puzzled, thinking, I didn't hear a clear gospel presented. You're probably thinking of the gospel as we think about it today. If you were to ask around in our community, in our church, if you were asked what the gospel is, you would hear something like, well, it's Jesus died on the cross for our sins, and then when we trust him, we can be forgiven. But I'm speaking of the meaning of the gospel before Jesus showed up. You see, whenever new rulers took power, messengers would be sent throughout the realm to announce the gospel, the good news. A new king, a new Caesar is in power. The message of this gospel, this good news, served to alert those who had been conquered, you're going to love it. We're going to make the empire great again. There was a subtext also that said, declare your allegiance or else. That was what was understood as a gospel, a good news message sent out by a new ruler. Many scholars believe that the height of the Roman Empire was under Caesar Augustus, the Caesar in power when Jesus was born. We have an inscription found in Turkey written in 9 BC. About Augustus. It said he was one who was sent by God to be a savior. He would bring an end to all wars, and all who came before him he would surpass. And because of this, his birth is referred to as good news. His birth is the gospel. King Herod of Judea certainly heard Augustus's gospel. He got the message. And he chose to get on board. Herod was known as a great builder. Signs of his power were everywhere. Sending out a gospel message of his own, it's going to be great. You're going to get a renovated temple. You're going to get a new city with a harbor. I'll even build 15 palaces for myself to remind you of my great power. One of those palaces he wanted on top of a mountain. But there was no mountain on the building site, so Herod did what anyone would do in that situation. He built a mountain. And on top of the mountain, he built a palace fortress. The palace included a 250-seat amphitheater and a swimming pool. And of course, he named it after himself. He called it the Herodium. It's at this moment in history, amidst the impressive displays of power from Caesar Augustus and King Herod, that we hear another gospel announcement. The angel proclaims, I bring you good news, gospel of great joy, that will be for all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, who is Christ the Lord. Now we know today that that was a big deal. But back then, it was pretty unimpressive. Everything about it said, this is unimportant, insignificant, even comical. I mean, consider just the location of the announcement in Bethlehem. The only reason Mary and Joseph find themselves in Bethlehem was because of the great power of Caesar Augustus. Caesar issues a decree that a census be taken. And that decree reverberates 1,500 miles away and sends Mary and Joseph scurrying to Bethlehem in the ninth month of her pregnancy. That's the power and might of Caesar Augustus. The announcement is made in the middle of the night, far from the halls of power, in a field of mostly sheep. That's it. The angel claims this gospel is for all people, but his announcement only reaches a few shepherds. And shepherds, really? Not exactly the powerful and important and influential. They check out the angel's story. They tell Mary what they've seen and heard, and they go back to work. What else could they do? And if all this isn't humbling enough, consider that this new king is born in a stable in Bethlehem, which sits in the shadow of the Herodium. That's right. Mary and Joseph could look out from the stable to the southeast, and they could see Herod's mountaintop palace. Just one more reminder of who held the power and who didn't. This doesn't seem like the way you announce the coming of a king and a kingdom that will turn the world upside down. But Jesus will confirm in his teaching, this is the way. In Luke 4, the gospel reading today, Jesus says he's come to proclaim the good news to the poor, the captive, the blind, the oppressed. His gospel is for the lost, the least, the voiceless. Jesus will go on to teach that his kingdom is for the poor in spirit, the mourning, the meek. The losers of this world are the winners in his kingdom. And that kingdom will be like a tiny mustard seed. Its growth will be imperceptible, but it will grow, and someday the whole world will be under its shadow. Jesus confirms by his actions that, in fact, this is the way. Not by catering to the wealthy or enriching his friends or flexing his power, but by healing the sick, giving sight to the blind, setting free the oppressed. In less than 100 years after this unimpressive gospel announcement, the Herodium will lie in ruins, Augustus will be long dead, and the kingdom of God will have advanced, usually in small and unimpressive ways, but advanced nonetheless from Bethlehem to Rome and beyond, even invading Caesar's own household. When the angel made his unimpressive gospel announcement, he mentioned it was for all people. But Jesus seems to focus almost exclusively on the poor, the neglected, the outcast, the sinner. Is the gospel really for all people? Well, yes, because Jesus sees all people as poor, unable to pay their debt of sin, captive to the desires of this world, blind to the truth that he has come to reveal, oppressed by the devil. The question is, do you see yourself as poor and captive and blind and oppressed? If yes, I have good news for you. Your sins are forgiven for the sake of Christ. Your worst sins are washed clean, white as snow, by the blood of Christ. Yes, even that sin. Your shame and guilt are wiped away. You're free. You're free. But if no, the gospel has nothing to offer you. You can build your nice houses and have your nice career and perhaps become a person of influence in your community. But know that Jesus isn't impressed. He wasn't impressed with Augustus. He wasn't impressed with Herod. And he's not impressed with you or with me. But he does love you. And his invitation stands. Turn from trusting in the things of this world and come to him empty-handed. And you too will hear good news proclaimed to you. Well, that gospel that advanced from Bethlehem to Rome and beyond has advanced in our day. The good news continues to be announced, even though this kingdom advances in unimpressive ways. A handful of water is poured on the head, a word is spoken, and all sins are washed away. A small wafer of bread, a tiny cup of wine, combined with a word, and sins are forgiven, and faith is strengthened. The pastor announces, "I forgive you for the sake of Christ." What can such meager words do? And yet, God's word makes it so. The kingdom advances as the gospel is delivered through God's people out in the world. I think of what happens just a quarter of a mile down the road at Hope Women's Center, inside a building that looks like a lot of the businesses around us. A volunteer greets a young couple overrun with panic and fear because of a crisis pregnancy. They're greeted with joy and love, and they discover a place of peace in their chaotic world. A technician works an ultrasound machine displaying the image of new life on the screen, and a scared mother sees evidence of a creator. A volunteer meets with a young man struggling with a question on whether he's ready to be a father, and gently he's led to the truth. He's already a father, and the real question is, what kind of father will he be? A poor mother, overwhelmed with the financial burden of taking on a child, is led to a baby boutique where all the items are free. And hope begins to flicker in her heart that perhaps God will provide. Perhaps she can keep this baby. There's even counseling for those who choose abortion. One more statement of unconditional love that says, though you've made a horrific choice, we stand as sinners among you in need of God's grace, and we welcome you to hear that even in this choice to end the pregnancy, God is still present, God can still redeem, God can still heal. In all these small and unimpressive ways, the kingdom advances. Good news is proclaimed to the poor. Captives are liberated. The blind see, and the oppressed are set free. Presidents will continue to announce their gospel. Good news, I've come to save the nation. But in the end, all the Caesars and kings and presidents will fade into history along with Augustus and Herod. And there's only one gospel that will endure, one kingdom that will rule them all. For in the end, it's the kingdom of Christ who conquers all. As we close here, I'm going to invite Aaron Snell to share a few words with you. Aaron, as I said, is the co-director of Hope Women's Center, along with his wife, Holly. Holly couldn't be here this morning. Their family got some tough news recently. Her 18-year-old nephew was diagnosed with a rare and aggressive form of cancer, and so he's undergoing some intense treatments, and she's with the family to help them. His name's Noah. I would invite you to pray for him and pray for Holly. But just for a few minutes now, Aaron will speak at the adult Bible class, and you'll have a chance to hear more fully of how God is working through Hope Women's Center. But I know not all of you will be here, so I want you to hear at least a few minutes from Aaron, just some of the great work that God's accomplishing through them. Aaron? Yes.
Good morning. Thank you, Pastor Thompson, for that powerful message. Hope Women's Center is your local pregnancy medical clinic. And like Pastor Thompson just said, every day, young girls and guys who are in the crisis of their life, they come to us, and they're often afraid and scared and overwhelmed, the situation they find themselves in. But we know that God has sovereignly, providentially brought them to us. Nobody comes to Hope by accident. And so it's truly the honor of our life. We have an incredible team that gets to walk with these young girls and guys. At Hope, the Lord has given us a very unique vision, and that is we have a holistic campus of care. Part of what Pastor Thompson just talked about, we holistically come around these girls and guys. And so we have an incredible medical team. We have expanded medical services. We have full-time adoption on site. The Lord's done so much with adoption post Roe being overturned. We have a full team of licensed professional Christian counselors who are able to sit with our patients. We have all kinds of classes that we've developed parenting classes. We have sexual trauma classes for those who've experienced rape or incest. We have marriage class or a miscarriage class. We have life skills and mentoring classes. We have post-abortion healing classes for women and men and so many others. As he talked about, we have the Cuddlebug Boutique, which is a beautiful store. It honestly looks like something you would see down in Highland Park. Everything is brand new. Everything is free to walk the journey with our patients. And then two of the newest pieces of the holistic model that came about last year, we were gifted at the end of last year a beautiful 5-acre ranch. It's got a 2,800 square foot home that's been fully remodeled. And so we're in the final stages of getting ready to open a maternity ranch that we called Hope House. And so for those who are needing housing, maybe who find themselves kicked out of their home for being pregnant, we now have housing for them as well. And then just another miraculous thing that happened last year, directly in front of our campus, there's 1.1 piece of acre that's been sitting empty for the past 4 years after we built our campus. Everything else around us is fully developed. And we have just prayed and tried to get a hold of that owner for the past 4 years to possibly acquire that piece of land. And for 3 years, he never answered our calls, but finally last year we got a hold of him. And just through the provision of God, we were able to purchase that piece of land. A couple of generous families stepped up and purchased it for $700,000. We will be building a 20,000 square foot building that will be additional to our current services. It's called the Hope Dream Center, where we will greatly expand our services. But really, it's going to serve as a national training center to train other pregnancy centers from across the country to share this holistic model that the Lord has given us, walking with these young girls and guys. And so we say it this way, that no matter where that woman is on the spectrum of a crisis pregnancy, we want to eliminate that crisis and not the child. And so we are so grateful, OSL, for your faithful partnership. You so graciously, you so generously, you support us, you pray for us, you financially are with us. You'll see a little update in your bulletin of some of the things we were able to accomplish this past year with your funds. And so we are so, so grateful for you. We really feel like an extension of you out in the community because you so faithfully walk with us. Out in the Welcome Center, I did put some copies of our newest newsletter. I would love to get that in your hands to tell you a little bit more about Hope. If you would like to see Hope, on February the 12th, we have what we call Hope 101, and this is a nice catered meal, and Holly and I do a presentation, a full tour of Hope Women's Center. It is limited spots, so you need to register for that, but we would love to have you with us. So again, thank you so much. We love and we appreciate y'all so very much.
Great. Thank you. I do count it a great privilege that we get to partner with Aaron and Holly and the folks at Hope Women's Center. Let's pray. Father Almighty, we are humbled that you have sought fit to sustain your gospel message throughout the ages to us today, that we poor sinners have heard the good news that there's a Savior who's been born, who's lived and died and risen again, that we might know life. Father, we pray for our friends at Hope Women's Center. Would you sustain and strengthen them in the work as they seek to preserve life both now and forever? We entrust them to your care. In the name of Jesus, we pray.